Welcome to the Pilgrim's Odyssey, your guide to life's wild ride. I'm your host, Siloan Green. Every day we share incredible stories and valuable lessons on life and faith. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to share this odyssey with your friends and neighbors so all of us, together, can let our light shine. Welcome, my friends, to the Pilgrim's Odyssey. Siloan here, coming to you from Thornton, Colorado, just outside of Denver. So incredibly beautiful out here. Blue skies, it's dry, skin gets dry. But man, it's gorgeous. Last couple of days I've been here in Thornton, which is just outside of Denver, and you're not really in the mountains, the elevation's high. But as you look off into the distance, you kind of see the Rockies. In the last couple of days, I really haven't had time to get away, but I thought, man, I'd like to go up into those mountains. But you look at them and they're so big and they seem so far away. You're kind of like, I don't know if I got the time to get there. But today, we got out of class and I had everything done. I kind of wanted to get done today. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to drive up there. So seemed like Estes Park was the place to go. Headed there. You know, in your mind, you're kind of thinking, man, this is going to be a few hours to get there. But like in 45 minutes, I was out of the plains on the eastern side of the Rockies. I was into the foothills of the Rockies, and then boom, there I was in the mountains. Amazing place. You look up at those mountains and, you know, they're kind of like a fortress when you drive into them and you go through these canyons, and then there's a house set back on a stream and some rocks, or a town kind of set in the middle of this valley surrounded by mountains. You kind of think fortress. Fortress. I heard that word the day before. Fortress. The newest trailer for Avatar, the new Avatar, came out. I was watching it, and it was impressive. You know, it's probably like the last one. There were parts of it I didn't like. Special effects were awesome. I'm like, this is going to be pretty cool. And then near the end of it, our hero Jake is with his family, and he says, "This family is our fortress." And I thought to myself, oh yeah. And it was kind of the opposite thought I've been having lately. A world where, man, it's so hard to live. We had that conversation in the class I was teaching today with police officers from the area. Man, things are getting so expensive, it's just hard to live. As I mentioned in my last podcast, it's kind of like it's just a contractual thing. Like, everybody work, so we have just enough money to pay the bills and keep working. And all those things that are important, all those things that I've talked about for so long, family, faith, purpose, where are you going? They just kind of fall away. They crumble. And you can't help but wonder, where's our fortress? Where will we find our fortress? And sadly, in spite of all that is crumbling around us, regardless of how hard we work, people still don't get it. This family is our fortress. I got an Apple News feed. You know, I have a couple of different channels where I get news items that interest me. A lot of times on religion, mental health, psychology. And I got this one and it just made me shake my head. It made me feel so sorry for a generation of kids. Really, if you think about it, the first generation in the history of mankind where the majority of kids are growing up with no connection to a community of faith, no connection to family outside of family. No connection, if you grow up and your mom and dad are divorced and you're by yourself, to show you the importance of being in a tribe. First generation in the history of mankind. And the one place they might go as depression increases and suicide increases, the one place they might go to help, mental health, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, they don't get it. Because I'm looking at this article on Apple News from the Los Angeles Times, and it's a Q&A with a researcher, somebody who has been researching mental health for 50 years. 50 years he studied mental illness. His name is Andrew Scull, graduated from Oxford University in 1969, arrived in America, not long after the Community Mental Health Act of 1963, and he began treating people in mental health centers and treatment programs. Now, some of the things in this article, in this interview, as he's saying, this is what we've got wrong for 50 years, I would agree with. That over 50 years, as he put it, everything became about drugs. Everybody looked for the magic pill. Yet, the more they looked, the harder it seemed to find the magic pill, the more elusive it seemed. And in general, as he put it, in many ways, it has made mental health worse. And he almost gets to truth. He almost gets to truth. He says, you know, he begins to talk about looking beyond drugs, looking beyond all the things that we've done. You know, he kind of gets melodramatic. We need to look into the jails and into the gutters and see what contemporary mental health policy has wrought. And then he starts waxing eloquently about, you know, is it nature or is it nurture? And how we need to overcome the stigma of mental illness. And it's more than just chemistry. And as you read through this, though, you can't help but be struck by the fact that it misses, to me, the two things that, in spite of all the increased availability of mental health the last 30 or 40 years, and the increased availability of drugs, and people who are licensed to help, and then yet you still always hear, we just had more money to do the same things we've been doing for 30 years. In spite of all that, in spite of all the money, that I guess theoretically, maybe we don't have enough money, and if we just had more, we'd have more to show for it. That they don't mention the two things that I think have changed for the worse that contribute to where we're at today. And one is the disconnectedness of our society, where family is not important. Relationships are not important. It's mom and dad work, send your kids to school so they can leave, move someplace where they can get a good job, maybe marry somebody else who's going to work, maybe have one kid, maybe not, be alone. And then do so at the expense of faith. Do so at the expense of faith, of the things that matter. You know, I like to talk to people when I'm traveling. Talk to them in the airport, talk to them on the plane, now that you can with your mask off. Talk to them when I visit a department. Talk to them when I visit a school. And you start talking to these kids and you start talking about things deep, try to get deep, meaning, purpose. They kind of look at you in a weird way. They have been so programmed to think in terms of, what's this mortgage going to cost me? You know, what cool place am I going to live? Is this Instagram worthy? How much money am I going to have in my 401k? How does this look on my resume? That the things I dreamed of when I was a kid, someone I loved deeply, I would spend my life with. And in that relationship, you wouldn't need much. And a family that loved each other and did things together. So many of these kids don't even think about it. And I wonder to myself, where are their families? And then I look at all the things that they're offered that don't work, drugs and therapies and self-help. And I can't help but want to cry out to them, where is your fortress? Where is that thing that will protect you? One of the scary things today, family is so unimportant to so many people. There are people that when you talk about family, they get mad. I was just doing a class specifically for families. And someone came and literally came up to me in a break and said, well, what about the people that don't have families? What about them? What do they do? And I thought to myself, well, first of all, I have a good answer for that. Second of all, this is family night. What do you mean asking me that question? Because really, family is connection. And here's one thing I'm not going to say. In an ideal situation where we all should strive for, where you got a mom and a dad to love each other and kids and the family is centered around them. That is the strongest unit that exists. That family is a fortress. Now, it doesn't mean everything's perfect and it doesn't mean you can't be connected and you can't have a family if you're single, if you're a widower, if you're not able to have kids. Of course you can, and of course you can have a deep life. And because we only know the experience that we know, who would I be to say that, say, you know, a couple that doesn't have kids and they adopt, that they're not any, They're just as happy as I am. Who am I to say they're not? They might very well be. But I do know what the ideal is, and I do know that whatever your family looks like, that needs to be our focus. Whatever home is to you, whatever family is, you make it number one. Now that, I'm not going to back down from, because the family is our fortress. And there's so much just sickness in our world. And I look at this guy, 50 years of studying mental health, and you never stumbled upon the fact that like love and connectedness and meaning and purpose and a family and a tribe is the healthiest place to be, and you don't even mention it in an article? Come on now, man. You don't have to be a believer. You don't have to be a theist. You don't have to be a Christian to understand that however we got here, whether God created us or we evolved, we're only here because there were tribes, because there were people that started families and looked out for them. And they're not all perfect. It's all not pie in the sky. It's not all beautiful. Yet, at the end of the day, the surest thing you can do just find someone you love. Be willing to humble yourself in front of them. Be willing to serve them. Maybe they'll do the same. You'll create a bond you can't find anywhere else. Then maybe you have kids. Maybe you have one, maybe you have two, maybe you have three. Heck, maybe you have nine like me. I mean, center your life around those people. And your attitude is each of us are here to strengthen and to support and to motivate and to encourage the other. And you'll have your fortress. So keep your head up, my friend, whether you have nine kids or none, whether you're married or whether you're single. Know that if you keep your eyes on the things that matter, family, faith, freedom, God, you get it. You will be surrounded by the strongest structure ever created that nothing but God and death can take away from you. And even in those things, a part of you will carry on. And our hope, obviously, is we'll see them again someday. And we'll look back with thankfulness and gratefulness of the gift that we were given to make our family our fortress. So until next time, my friends, you better aim high and spread your wings and keep your eyes on the things that matter. You've been listening to the Pilgrim's Odyssey. Make sure you comment, share, and like this podcast so all of us together can let our light shine. For books, videos, and more content from me, your host, please visit Silouan.com. That is Silouan, Silouan.com. Until your next visit on the Pilgrim's Odyssey, I'm your guide on life's wild ride, Silouan Green.